Da-da-da-da, unmute mics.
Restart the recording.
Mics is up. Mics are up.
The show must go on.
So, gentlemen, while I scramble to fix our feed here, what do you guys remember? Well, the map is up and running. We have three cavaliers and a manservant, because that's all we know about Fafal. Trapped. Teleported to safety, just to find themselves trapped. Does that really work that way? Like, you teleport to safety, and yet suddenly you just find yourself trapped. I mean, that's kind of a crappy deal. They've been wandering around these rooms that they believe is some sort of what? I mean, what do you guys actually
like
think?
Like a nobleman's safe room?
It's kind of like being under house arrest. We're safe, but from ourselves as well.
It's like a super high-end prison.
Fancy kind.
Isn't
for like the ultra VIP? Or like six ultra VIPs, I guess, judging by the number of beds. Seven. One like super uber VIP and his six servants.
Yeah, when trapped
or
underground.
One K-pop band.
When trapped underground, you want to have as many mouths to feed as possible. Now, you guys did find a storeroom, right?
Yeah, and a bowl that never empties, which is sweet.
The magic spoon. But how long, how often, how many years can you stand just, you know, slurp and gruel? Yeah.
We could start a civilization down here.
What?
What?
Pardon?
I don't think you know how civilizations
work. Let me make a knowledge roll on
that.
No, let's roll with this.
No, let's not, because I'm afraid of where he's going to go.
Yeah. I don't think any of us even need to focus on that kind of negativity in our lives.
That negativity. All right. So
I believe when we left off, we were clearing the crates and stuff off the one side of the room and piling them up in the corner after thoroughly searching them all, freeing up that visage, the mural.
Yeah,
the fresco. Is that my big
the fresco? With? Yes.
So the fresco.
Yeah.
The fresh. The fresco.
The Mentos.
Fresco.
Gesundheit.
Thank you.
So it's going to take you guys, or I should say, right out of the gate, you spend a good, 30 minutes clearing, and then going through. Like, remember, you guys wanted to take it, like, crack open every crate that you possibly could.
Yep.
I mean, you guys have spent some serious time, so you're burning.
I'd imagine between the four of us, it's probably a couple hours, judging from the number of crates there are to crack open. And
I suspect we almost don't have anything else to do.
So. A four-man crew, 30 minutes to make sense of the mess on the wall. And you guys have taken stock. Now, remember, you found some interesting things. Like, you did find some, I wouldn't say iron rations, but, you know, some seriously interesting... shall we say, accoutrements, including a masterwork toolkit and a bunch of weapons.
Yeah, weapons.
Yes, weapons. Yes, let all that bitching I've had to endure for so many games end now. So we talked.
Yeah,
about.
We really shouldn't blame you. You didn't write this.
We will still blame you. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's the DM's job to just suddenly insert your favorite weapon and change it to the magical axe of magicalness. Because, I don't know, I find that does a writer disservice. If a character chooses to play Bob with the longsword, he increases his odds of finding a magical longsword because they are a little bit more plentiful in said dungeon. If you say, I want to play this awesome barbarian with a spiked chain, just to happen into the dragon's lair, the spiked chain of... Well, I think there's got to be a bit of story or something to back that find. Now, if you happen to be, you know, in the tundra Viking wastelands of this, and, you know, it's the ancestral weapon, you know, you see where I'm going with this, like, and yada yada yada,
sure,
you know, like, a lot of this can make more sense. So with that in mind, now a lot of DMs will disagree, you know, it's about the fun, it's about that, but we are doing,
it's gonna be a balance.
Yeah, well, our War for the Crown is going to be different than, say, another podcast. I believe there's about three or four now. But again, like, changing too much of the interior content. For example, in War for the Crown, I can say they're very excited. Coming up fairly soon, they introduce some very unique items, magical items and weaponry that quite literally will sort of level with the characters. It's a very, very cool concept of victory points and things going to be introduced, mostly in the second book, but you guys will find these, you know, very interesting, unique, and it plays into the story. They play into the history of Tal'Dorei. But hey, what if you're, you know, like, what if Guy doesn't use the sacred axe of Bob or care for the ring or what, you know, should I just suddenly make it something one of your guys uses?
Well, yes.
No. If it's a historical item that, sir, you know, see where I'm going with this here? Like it just, it,
sure.
It seems,
oh,
to
no,
be,
I understand.
It seems to be a bit of a, it can be a bit of a disservice to the writing, to the intent of the adventure. You know, if you're going to,
well, I think that's kind of why martial classes are proficient with all martial weapons, right?
I think he's trying to soften the blow because maybe someone took weapon focus, something not longsword. Who did it? Oh, me. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It'll be you. I mean, but marshals can use anything. I mean, so that keeps your story intact. I mean, really now, all you're trying to do after that is I'm going to make my cool character that much more powerful by giving him the, you know, plus whatever spike chain of monkey power. When really it should be a long sword of, you know, whatever. So, well, I mean, those are just some sacrifices.
Monkey power. Let's be consistent.
Yeah, to an extent, power. I agree, but, like, there is some finagling you could do with it. Like,
sure.
If the item is, like, historically this for this very, very specific reason, okay, that's one thing. But if it's, like, it's this kind of weapon, shifting it between kinds of weapons, like, if something would be valid in the same situation, I think that would be fine.
Says the... Yeah. Says the one guy with a ranged weapon that might is like, well, you know, if they were magical throwing darts, could we just turn into a bow?
Let's go along the lines of like the longsword, magical longsword. None of us actually uses a longsword for whatever really stupid reason. Maybe some of us use a short sword. Maybe some of us use a.
Maybe some of us are halflings.
Some kind of like a bastard sword. And maybe some of us are halflings. The stories were just changed to be humans because halflings are actually servants.
Little miniature version.
Well, see, this is what I actually love about a player's guide. 30 pages, and it always paints a very good picture of, in this part of the world, this is the kind of thing to expect. This is the kind of thing you're getting into. And players go, yeah, religion, weapons, blah, blah, blah. They just kind of skim through it, and they go, right, now, can I please play my Kitsune Ninja, blah, 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 blah. They're like, okay, sure. But you were given a player's guide. And isn't it interesting to play the traveling, wandering samurai from far away and come afar and have that as a contrast character? Yes, I find that interesting. But a party of the techno rainbow murder hobos? Don't come crying to the DM when, you know, we're like, we're really not getting what we're doing here. Well, it's because you know nothing of the culture. Searching a room has no, like those paintings. And the fourth dinner, oh, look, we're in a country that went to war. Several expansion wars. Yeah, okay. It doesn't really mean anything. But to cavaliers that are trying to make a mark in their country, you see the impact that these characters, you know, playing into the scene. Now, there is nothing wrong with, you know, I almost said rainbow butt monkey, technicolor rainbow murder hobos. A lot of it obviously has to do with what your DM and the players decide together. And I ran into too many scenarios where the DM's like, this is what we're doing, and the players aren't happy. Or the players just like, aha, we're doing all this kind of crap. And the DM's like, okay, well, there goes half my module that I wrote myself. That's kind of where you went right out of the gate, is before the DM surprises his players with something that he wrote or is doing, he didn't talk to them up front. And the players didn't push the DM going, I like RP over combat, just so you know, I like this. Or, you know, there's no back and forth. It's just game night, and you have an assortment of different kinds of players bringing all kinds of characters into whatever the DM's interpretation of something is. So I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer here, but for a podcast, for a live stream,
you're wrong.
There's a certain amount of, you know, trying to play into a scene to get more out of a story. Now, Fafal is a sylph. This is an Arabic, Katapesh character that we've brought from afar. Jay is playing a guy from Taisha, other side of the world. How do we connect them? Well, we've cheated. For Fafal, we actually have other adventures like our Mummy's Mask and stuff to connect why he's here, why he's on the run. And we're going to get more into his backstory soon and why he's such an exotic person. Because you've got to remember, Opera is a hub of society. A lot of trade comes in here and you get all kinds of walks of life. Even at the Senate, you guys met interesting people from faraway lands as ambassadors, clerics, and all that kind of thing. We had Rob Hammond do Juan Hasabari, a Sargassian. Does anyone know where Sargassian comes from?
No.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it sounds cool.
Isn't he from the Mwangi Expanse?
most likely, you know. So you shouldn't restrict people from playing stuff. And the DM shouldn't be the only one that can, like, be allowed to do the exotic stuff, and you're all playing your boring little, you know, Lord of the Rings dudes. Now, Jay, have we gotten into some of the we talked about, was it the fifth? Which army of expansion gets into?
That was the eighth expansion.
The eighth expansion, where a lady cavalier or general sails halfway across the world and finds a bunch of bandits in a central province of Taishan and routes them, and, you know, 10, 20 years, 30, how long it takes later, claims it to be new Opera. Well, this looks like a Britain kind of taking Hong Kong away from China scenario to me.
Colonization,
and,
baby.
Yeah, and because we have a character from there, and it's kind of like a flashback, a throwback to, like, history. So Jay's character is actually tied into Tal'Dorei history a lot more than you'd think. Why do you take a Vinmark name? Especially in contrast to, like, Scald, you know, why would a bunch of Vikings adapt a Taishan boy? Well, think about it. In our cutscenes, to travel by foot, you literally go over the top of the world through the North Pole and come down, like they did in Jade Region in reverse, and cross through those people, and stuff happened to his family. Again, you know, something we could get to. One thing I like about certain podcasts is they will hint and hint and hint and reveal and stretch out the backdrop. But if a character dies, does their story end? Is it the GM's obligation to fulfill that dead character's story through the player? And I'm talking like, oh, he's my twin brother. No, I'm talking about, you know, or is that part of the shocking story? Somebody had a full life up to age of 15, 20 or whatever, had all this potential, was a really rich character, and a random encounter kills them and their story ends. Unless you have resurrection magic, which is doubtful at second level.
Ask Alex Stahlgrim.
Yeah. they call this plot armor. If I protect your characters to get my story I want out of your character, they call it plot armor. I'm telling you, be sure and don't be shocked in the next two episodes when I start dropping these cavaliers like freaking flies, man. There is so much talk and work we've put into their backstories that we have yet to reveal, but there is no plot armor here. I am desperate to get that samurai back down here so he could stick his neck out like everybody else, put it on the line, because he wants XP. Well, I mean, let's be real. So on that note, while you guys are spending all this time searching, you know, the room and such, you know, taking the inventory, saying, okay, hey, you know, hello, what do we got going on here? Well, you got Masterwork Artisan's tools. We've got 3 daggers, 1 halberd, 2 longswords, 12 masterwork darts, 1 masterwork rapier, and 1 masterwork medium, sorry, little guy, masterwork studded leather. So I need to know right now, did anyone change? Is anyone loading up? I'm sure we talked about it last session, but
I'll take the halberd.
So we're going to bring this up to, like, you know, the halberd. That would be considered a large weapon to you, even larger for.
We can cut this stuff down.
Size it? Yeah, but it's not just the length of the pole. It's also the size of the head.
That's
and,
what
and
she
the weight
said.
Proportion.
Oh. You can't handle the girth, man.
Oh.
It's a girthy unit.
I will say, if you modify this weapon, I'll make it from a straight, it's very unwieldy penalty to just unwieldy. For whatever penalty you would take from wielding a, you know, a large weapon, make it from practically impossible because of your size and the size of the weapon, you know. Though I don't think anything's impossible. I mean, it's just big penalties. Right?
It wasn't possible, actually, unless you cut it down.
So
a two-handed weapon, medium-sized, going down one character size would make it an impossible to wield weapon.
So how do we take a small character, bypass medium, a medium character can wield a large weapon, we have this large weapon, cut the half in half, now you have a medium weapon.
Two-handed weapon for, yeah.
So what do we classify this? But it's weighted for its original length.
It still would be a two-handed weapon. It would just be like.
But what I'm saying
I
is, like,
if you get a -2 penalty.
Have to use it as an improvised weapon.
Yeah, like it would be -4 easily. Like, seriously,
yeah,
unwieldy.
That would suck.
So how bad do you want this halberd?
So I'm not going
to
do that.
When you could just give it to the half-orc, going here, go nuts, D10, like, you know.
Okay.
Now I'm not saying no, it's doable, but these are the steps you take. These are the penalties we will incur when you have 2 full-grown men and a sylph.
All right, then.
That could swing this mega damage weapon around.
Mega damage.
The sylph is going to take the masterwork rapier.
Okay, well, that's a good call.
Because it replaces my regular rapier.
Which they wouldn't let you in at the door.
No, I had it bound.
Well, I have another really pressing question that I'm sure fans that have been paying attention have been like, this is not possible. This is all wrong. Something to do with one of you is completely off if they tracked who is carrying certain items. I'm surprised I haven't got any emails or no one said boo on the web about something that they probably believe is a big screw up on our part. But I'm telling you, it's not. And it has to do with Madame Trant's pin. So here's an inventory check for you guys. Lady Lothied gives 3 cavaliers and 1 samurai 4 pins. Right?
Yep.
Right. We get to the door. Lord Gildevarth gives his manservant, Fafal, his pin and gets in on Guile and Amazing Pecs. And the document invite. So Varth's got no pin. We run into Madame Trant. We beat her up and you rob her. She seems more interested in her special herbal tea than getting that pin back. And there's some sleight of hand going on between our halfling and our sylph and the wolf's collar with the 3 pins the 2 men had in their possession while Lord Varth defended his manservant's honor. Did she get her pin back?
No.
I don't think so. So it's on Barkley.
Yep, it's right? On the inside of his collar.
So Barkley has Trant's pin. Winston has his own. Fafal has Varth's, right? And the samurai was led away, and we're assuming still has his pin, whatever the effects might be, without metagaming. So how did Varth get here?
By sheer will.
No, Varth had Bartholomew's pin because Bartholomew pinned it on the back of his, like, scarf.
Right. So how did Bartholomew get here?
Huh? Willpower.
Do you guys remember? You guys don't remember, do you?
Oh, no. Wasn't it
Barkley had him by the leg.
Yes, that's right. Barkley pulled him in.
Yeah.
And for semantics.
For some crazy reason, whatever magic took Barkley and Bartholomew and you almost as one entity.
Because he went down. Yeah. And we were like, yo, I'll save you, comrade.
Because he was cargo at that point.
Okay. So right now, Bartholomew has no pin on his person. And the other people here, including the wolf, do. Right?
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to leave it.
Okay.
Yes, I believe that's how.
Because without meta knowledge of how important these things might be. Okay. Now, you were told these pins had the Vultures family symbol on it. An old dead centaurial family that, you know, everyone uses the old pins from old families to get their buddies into the Senate. Right?
Yes.
Going forward, I will mention something that you may or may not know because of knowledge checks. But this is the first and only freebie, because I feel really bad at what's coming, that I will remind you of these pins, the family, and that they were given to you by Lady Lothied, saying, you know, this family is no more. And everybody does this, don't worry about it. Okay? So, seeding those ideas... Sorry?
Are we seeing any matching symbolism?
So far, not as so much. So, I'm going to... Can you guys actually pull this out of your party inventory? These items I've given you?
Yes.
What's it called?
The inventory party sheet.
Yeah, top right, little eye and 3 little heads and shoulders on your game board.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
You pull it up. So you guys should be able to start snatching and grabbing onto your characters the items that you claim. So Fafal wants the rapiers. Who has the halberd? Now, I know Varth and Bartholomew have long swords each. They were allowed in with them. And Winston only had his sling.
Yeah, I'll take a long sword.
Okay, that counts.
Does it automatically shrink down to my size?
No, it becomes to you. It's a greatsword.
Oh, okay.
It only does.
So would a dagger be a short sword?
No, sorry. It counts as it's not the damage. It's the wieldability for you. So a longsword can be wielded in one hand by a human for D8. You need to choke up on it like a baseball bat to get that D8. It's not a greatsword for you, sorry, but it's you need to have 2 hands free, right?
Okay.
See what I'm saying? A dagger, again, a bit unwieldy. But no, it's doable, but I'm afraid the damage doesn't change. Now, if you had a weapon size for you, a halfling dagger, small, the damage actually goes down. D3 instead of D4. Longsword for you is D6 instead of D8, you know, because it was physically sized to you.
Like, why my lance is a D6 and not a D8?
Right. So with this longsword, if you kind of use it like a bastard sword, like a greatsword to you, it only does a D8, but at least as long as you got two hands free and steer with your knees, you can technically do, yeah, shouldn't be a problem.
It's a martial weapon?
Yeah.
It is. Sweet, so I can use it. Yeah. Right. I'll take it.
Okay. And at least now you're properly armed-ish, right? There's the throwing darts. They can be used like daggers, but they are masterwork plus one non-magical throwing darts. Who's getting those? Or you guys can divvy them up because there's a crap ton of them.
We should divvy those up. That way there's 12 nobody of them, feels...
Yeah. You guys can walk away with three each, sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because there's no bow here. There's no crossbow, no bow, you know. Three regular daggers on top of the, you know.
I'll take three darts.
You know. There's also regular daggers, gentlemen. And then the studded leather. Did anyone want the studded leather? Versus your parade armor has the same AC bonus. I'm thinking this might only interest Fafal.
Somewhat.
Because it's masterwork studded leather, so it actually has less.
Totally interests me, but.
Oh, it's masterwork studded leather?
Yeah, so it doesn't have armor check penalties, but you'd have to craft it down to medium, like, because it's medium sized. You'd have to jimmy it down to like small guy. We have to look up rules about, you know, using armor and weapons that are not sized for you, blah, blah, blah. Again, doable. You know, you guys seem to have time and, you know, stitching around. And, you know, who's going to carry the halberd? Or do we want it? You know, you guys want this. Okay.
No, give that to the orc for sure.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
Unless there's a contention.
Yeah. No, assuming, you know, people can have a dagger and yada, yada, yada. Okay. So,
But I will yield my darts to somebody else.
Okay.
No, everybody should have ranged weapons for just in cases.
Just in cases?
I have a sling. I have my sling.
Okay, so yep, I will take
bullets
three
for
them. I will take three of the masterwork darts.
Now, so it as not to repeat the events of the Senate, our samurai climbs the garden wall, leaves Nakage outside on guard, gets in there, and I believe you were going for your bow and had just retrieved it when somebody claiming to be a guard in some kind of strange outfit saw you and called out to you. I believe that's where we left our samurai.
I don't remember specifically saying someone saw me. I thought that was like, I make a roll this time, and then as soon as I fail it, you say someone sees me.
Stealth versus perception.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Okie doke. That is an 11.
You there! Calling up the Senate, the garden, right? You had your bow in the bush, and there was like the exit towards the Senate, the round room, right there, and then there was the other one. Coming from the Senate room that appears to be locked and guarded, because remember you peeked and saw guys down there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Someone must have seen you dash across and go for the bow, or while you were retrieving the bow, you know, you hear someone getting closer, closing the distance, and calling out to you. You there! You know, like, reveal yourself, you know, come forward, type of thing. What do you do?
I immediately jump towards finishing grabbing the bow.
Okay. You get your bow. It's a tube. You pop the cap and you see that it is your bow, and they have sort of taken a quiver, right? Folded it small, crammed, you know, like a dozen arrows in it instead of like the 20, crammed like a dozen arrows in it so it would fit in this tube, and then shoved your bow in there and, you know, like wrapped it up, and you know what I mean? You're not full capacity arrows, but they've, however, they can put the arrows length to length to get a second set. So yeah, no, I could give you the full quiver on this.
Cool. 20 arrows or 20 shots. Okay. Yep. But I'm guessing since it's in a tube, my bow's probably unstrung, which means I should now.
You have to pull it out, and it's like having it in a backpack. Yeah.
So for now, it's just kind of string it across my back. And do I have time to like run away or?
Sure. You don't see him. Okay. You hear him around the corner coming, calling out to what you assume is you. You could peek. Maybe he's about to grab some servant that was halfway between you. You don't know. Maybe he's about to come around the corner and find nothing, like a movie, or find you, string your bow going, what? You know.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to... Presumably he came at, or he was yelling from the door that was closest to me. So I'm going to try to maybe go around, try the other door.
Yep, you could head north to this side of the garden, to the other entryway, and pop through. But as soon as you get past that wall, it's an open space.
Yeah.
Because that's where the... here, just so that, you know, the live audience isn't going, what? I will actually, you know, before we make this.
Can I possibly cause a distraction, like throw a rock down towards the other end so it sounded like I was running away?
Sure. Got a rock on you?
Can I just pick one up off the ground?
Well, considering you are in a petting zoo, I will say that there is, you know, bric-a-brac and something, you know, flailing poop. No, there's there's a bunch of this and that. So, looking at the map without seating your position directly, okay, you are just south of the pool in the center of the map, in those bushes on that corner. Somebody must have seen you dart across. Now, a good 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 70, like good more than 110 feet away is one set of doors that saw a guard. So the guy has a good 120 foot jaunt to get to you. Assuming he saw you cross, and while you're rummaging, he saw and started getting halfway there, so about 60 to 80 feet away, decided to call out. Okay, you grab your bow. Quick inventory check. Okay, he's obviously probably really close. And at this point, it's like, crap, okay, I got to hide, I got to bail, I got to run. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, like a double move just to get to that corner, right?
Yeah.
Now halfway there, you're thinking about rocks.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'll just keep going.
Okay. Can I have an intelligence check, please? Or are you just happy to run?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Sorry. Actually, that's an old house rule of mine. In official Pathfinder, you know, one rules, you can burn your, and these are like serious hero points, you can burn your hero point to ask the DM for inspiration.
Are the animals still in the yard? This was like a petting zoo. They're in their cages or something.
Yeah, they've either been removed or they've just been like secured, you know?
Okay. Well, if they're secured, I would like to kind of like rile them up. So yeah, that would be where I would pick up the rock and quickly throw it at one. So it kind of like squeals.
So like further away, as if they're like, oh, so if the pig 30 feet down is squealing, he must have went that way kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. All right. So you retrieve your stuff, quick inventory check. I've calculated how far he's moved. Hey, you, blah, blah, blah. Then you start going. You get your 30-foot move. You're by the pool. By the pool. Grab a rock, and then you want to chuck it sort of back down the way he came, south side, another whatever, and then proceed on.
Yes.
Okay. Are we moving stealthily and halving our movement, or are you just booking it?
I think at this point they've heard me moving, so probably not stealthing yet. Once I get, like, after I throw it, I'll probably start stealthing, though.
Okay. So toss, you're literally doing the bluff distraction. So let's have your bluff roll.
Sure. Let's say 16. But I would like to use a samurai ability.
Yes.
Called On My Honor. Because I need to, what I'm doing right now is trying to figure out what was going on, especially considering the stories I've heard about my lord. So I'm going to use my On My Honor ability to make sure that I can boost that ability and hopefully get the distraction going. So that's a +4 to any skill check.
So upon your honor, you must act like a ninja. Crouching, hiding, falling, throwing rocks for distractions. Oh, I totally, yeah. Nice loophole in the rules, but sure.
I don't think it's a loophole.
Is there certain skills you can apply this to? You're allowed to apply upon your honor to a bluff roll? Are we certain of this?
Yes, it just says that I can apply it to a skill check and an ability check, I believe.
Any?
The specific wording.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Usually I would use it to like diplomacy or something, but...
No, it's fine. Okay. So
that's a 20.
Oh, okay. So... You know, bonk right off the side of this horse or llama or something. The very same one that didn't want to have anything to do with Varth, by the way. Because some animals are just too big to bother to move or placid enough that, like, oh, look, the llama horse, he is, you know, it's, we can leave it here for now, you know, tied up, feed it. Ding, right off the side of the fence, and it chips up in the air and hits the thing in the head. And this thing just goes nuts and, you know, reacts and kicks over its food and, you know, starts freaking out. And you literally see a guy come, you know, imagine it's not a T intersection, but imagine him coming out and he's literally about to turn and do a 180, like scan everywhere, including your position. You see him breach, you throw, this animal freaks out, and he's about to turn his head, and then he sees the animal freaks out, and he goes right for him and starts, you know, drawing a weapon and jogging up towards the slammer like he's going to search around the pen or whatever. What do you do?
As soon as I can, I start moving up towards
this is where your successful bluff can get that stealth check. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Drop low, future ninja. I mean, future ninja. Honorable samurai.
Okay, I slipped.
his foot goes right in the pool and makes a little sploosh.
Yep.
All right.
That is a 5.
I will give this guy a penalty because of the freaking out animal. I'll give him a -4. Oh, dude, you are so lucky. If it wasn't for the animal making all this noise, I would have seen you. So, yeah, you're like, sploosh, oh, crap. Or, you know, you knock something into the pole, it makes pool makes more noise than you want. But you are, you know, 15 feet more than you wanted, and you still have 15, 20, 25 feet, or like 15 feet to get 20 feet to get to the bushes. You know, hide for a while.
Hmm. Does it look like he might be there for a little bit longer? Or is he, like, almost done?
Well, he's just going for the llama now. So I'm gonna take, so he's probably gonna go once around, you know, look inside the pen and go once around to see if you're just ducking behind it and then look all around, you know, type of thing. But no, you're still really
so
exposed.
I'll take my time for now.
Okay. So more
so
sneaking.
Another stealth check.
Yep. More sneaking.
This one's an 8.
Jesus, these dice hate me. This is what I get for buying official dice. They just really don't like me. All right. So you're at the bushes on the north side near the wall. Now, if you look at the layout here, this has been shared, yeah? You look at the layout here, right? Those four gaps are four doors, right? One had two guys on it, and one guy came running out looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the state of the rest of the place. However, it is kind of like, you don't hear the big ambient of, you know, like you kind of hear that muffled far away, oh, there's kind of, like lots of noise going on. They've kind of emptied this entire area, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so am I actually hiding in the bush, or just kind of like...
I have you near it. You kind of stop. Yeah, you're kind of crouching next to the bush.
Yeah, so I guess for now I'm going to wait. My next move would be to get into the bush and then peek around the corner.
Okay. So keep with the stealth?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Let's have it.
11. I'm going up.
You're so freaking lucky. These guards are like trained professionals with decent perceptions. You should be seen by now. But okay, you're in the bush.
Yay.
The bush has a Tai Shan man growing out of the side of it, but you're in the bush. Peek around the corner, okay? And you have a straight, you have an empty, unobstructed, no people view of one door. Nope, it's kind of around the corner. But the far door, again, you see, you know, two guys. Can I have a perception check, please?
Certainly. That is a, why is it giving me, oh, because I accidentally rolled linguistics. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is a 12, I believe.
Okay. The distance, -1 per 10 feet, is brutal. But I can tell you two things. Just from their stance, the color of the skin, and their uniforms or whatever, these guys, this is not the Tal'Dorei Senate Guard. The bright colors of the phalanx are, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
They look like guards. They're dressed similarly, but they don't look like the right people in the right place. And the other thing that you just cannot miss is the giant bar that they've locked the outside of this huge double doorway with. But discerning details, like little marks or signets on them, or, you know, exactly what weapons they have, no. I can tell you they're wearing light armor. I can tell you that they're two dudes. They look like they're dressed like guards from afar, and they're standing in front of giant double doors that look parred from this side. Three things that should really not be going on. A Senate vote? What's your knowledge local? What's your knowledge bureaucracy? What the hell's going on here? I locked them in. Till you 222 senators decide on what's going on. Well, it is the vote of the century. You know, primogeniture.
Would you prefer knowledge local or knowledge nobility?
I'd say local, more to do with customs and such, right? So the local custom to like lock them until they decide.
Natural 20 for 24?
No. There's breaks and red tape and refreshments, and this is all wrong.
Hmm. And just kind of like looking at them, even from like the very little that I can see from here, they also don't look like they would be
and then,
members of the Ulfin Guard, do they?
No. And then the screaming starts. Quiet out here, listening intently, looking, you hear the faint, shattered screams of hundreds of people, and you actually see the doors resounding with booms. Meanwhile, somewhere, whisked away to relative safety, getting back to our cavaliers in a far, I want to say far off land. I mean, do you guys have any idea how far away you could be?
Well, we're probably somewhere in Tal'Dorei, considering all of the stuff in here has to do with Tal'Dorei.
Right.
What if they wanted to take a little piece of Tal'Dorei with them to Wisconsin? You know. Anyway, so
Tal'Dorei, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Half an hour search. Divvy up the weapons. What's our next move?
So every room seems to have something interesting or important or key.
You got a storeroom, a bedroom, a meeting bar slash eating room, and a generic service court.
Yeah, but we got that crazy scrying thing.
Yeah.
When we looked through the scrying thing, what did we see?
Nothing. I don't think we could see through. Were the lights turned on in all four rooms when we looked in the scrying thing?
Don't know. You only just came to this fourth room now. The lights were
off. Are all the lights on in all the rooms right now?
Don't know. You'd have to go check all the rooms.
So let's do that.
Let's go check all the rooms.
Okay.
I mean, we'll just leave all the doors open. I mean, yeah, if we
just holler.
Yeah. We use the old family intercom.
Yeah.
Fafal will burst through this door.
Yeah, I'll head down to the bar area.
You know, I mean, I think we're all kind of spread out. We've got line of sight. We know where the switches are. We know what they are now. So we'll just, you know, turn them all on. See if all the lights come on in all the rooms.
I'll go and check out that little scrying device. Where was that in this bar room?
On the north wall.
By the cabinet.
Sweet.
Now, Bartholomew, do you tell them what's different about said scrying device?
No, I'm in the bedroom.
Okay.
Shout it out. Yeah.
Well, he did take the shard of whatever and slip it into the scrying device.
Recently.
All dirty-like.
Yeah, very recently. Well, Vorth is like, did we do this? Did we do this? Sure, but circumstances, you know.
So I'm going to look through the scrying device.
Standing on your tippy toes on top of the wolf. You see darkness. No, you actually see the room, the storeroom.
Oh.
A bird's eye view with, who is that sitting in the storeroom?
Samish.
Stand there looking around, scratching his butt, picking his nose, but it's a scrying.
Lord Gildavoth! I can see you through the scrying device!
So is there any indication, like I could see from his point of view? Is there anything on the ceiling?
Okay. He just starts looking all around like he can't see like a hidden camera. He just kind of like does a 180 and starts looking at the painting. You know, it's just all kinds of, you know.
Does anything stand out through that? I don't know.
You can see the entire painting fresco wall with him in front of it.
Okay.
So as if the bird's eye view is sort of like above the door, the north door kind of thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. Seems to be pointed at the fresco.
All right. I'll go check the fresco out. See if anything happens there.
I really think we're mutilating that word. Does anyone?
Fresco?
Fresco?
No. It's a fresco.
Are we sure?
Yes. I don't know. Spell it.
F-R-E-S-C-O.
Done. Fresco.
Fresco.
Yeah,
fresco.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't see an alternate pronunciation for that. So,
actually is a fresco. Not a fresca.
I think fresca is a soda.
Yeah, it is.
Fresca.
Lemon flavored and bubbly.
No, grapefruit flavored.
Ooh.
Lime and grapefruit flavored citrus soft drink created by Coca-Cola Company. Not sponsored, by the way.
Not yet.
Mix
it so well with vodka.
Yeah. Fresca. So, does the fresco look any different? Does the person scrying on me see anything I don't see?
I'm assuming you guys are just relaying all this stuff.
We're just shouting it down the hall.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, he tells you that he sees you standing from the painting. Yeah. So, I'm assuming if you see him standing from the painting, Varth, you put your back to the painting and just start. You wanted to know where his, you know, view was, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, Winston, you see him face you, but again, he's, you know, he doesn't seem to spot anything obvious on the wall from your view. He just keeps, you know, you see the eyes and head searching all over the wall, but he is facing
like
you,
talking to a blind person.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, he's trying to figure out like what's, you know, what you're looking through, as it were.
Okay.
Does not see any. Actually, can I have a perception check? I suppose it is possible. From Varth.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You see the mimic about to eat you.
All right, skill. Let me move the map out of the way. I got a 19 perception.
Nice.
Not enough.
Now, can I aid another through the scrying device? Is that a possibility?
Sure. You could be like, look up, tilt your head to the left a bit. Like, you know, you can kind of like frame his face so he's looking at you in the eye, kind of thing. Yeah.
Walk out with my finger. Nope.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
okay. Right there. It's right there.
No, I cannot aid another with a mighty roll of two for a total of eight.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, but my point is, there were keys in one room that got us something important in the other. There's this circle thing on the floor. There's this weird painting. So somehow they're connected. Somehow all of these are connected.
What about the panels?
It's like keys of a puzzle, right? So each one takes you a little bit farther down to open the puzzle box. That's what we're in. We're in a puzzle box. How do you open it? Each one of these are clues as to how to open it.
It's an escape room.
Well, you blow up the wall.
I have another theory. Escape from what? Are you in a panic room? Are you in a safe house? What did you escape from?
It seems like it's a safe house. To me, that's my general perception of it. But, I mean, a safe house turns pretty quickly into a prison if there's no way out.
If you can't figure out how to get out. So I think the painting is important somehow. We're just not seeing it. I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
Because the scrying device is pointing it out. Look here. This is important.
Okay. Now, one of the first things that you're missing here, okay, is I believe Fafal noted he was the first one to play the switches, right?
Uh-huh.
They don't necessarily work in any given room. He came in very, remember the very first room?
Yeah, they're kind of random.
Or broken or something. Because he started playing with the first one, nothing happened. And then it was like, oh, look, you know, this room is not lit. Or it was lit. He's like, wait a minute. And then you guys actually did a little test with two switches,
let's
right?
Six some people on the panels.
Yeah. There's one in every room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I go to the one that's in my room and I start pressing buttons. How many buttons are there?
You know what? I'm a bad man. I shouldn't have given that up for free. I want a hero point. Somebody give me a freaking hero point for that.
Well, I was going to start messing around with the buttons after they were done looking at
I know. There's only so many things to play with, right? So, okay, put everybody on a switch. What do we do?
Press buttons. How many buttons are there to press in my room?
Everyone has like a single switch. It's a panel that you can...
Up, down?
It's an on-off.
Okay.
Think of it like a brass...
I toggle mine?
A brass
like
plate.
Of style.
Yeah, it's like a brass plate that you just touch.
Oh, okay. So it's a solid state. Gotcha.
I believe so. It is technically considered a switch, but it's like just this little plate on the wall. Yeah.
Okay. I touched my plate. I wait 5 seconds.
Okay.
I touched it again.
So let's give these rooms numbers. Okay. For fall, the first room, the servants' quarters, is area B1. The bar, B2. The stately room, B3. And the storage room, B4.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, before what?
And after.
Dishonor. Dice B4, dishonor.
Ah,
that's why our Lord is in that room. So anyway, moving quickly on from that, we're looking at B3, and he's touching the switch. Okay,
touche.
Winston and Vars lights start switching like mad. You guys think you're having a stroke because, like you said, he just goes to town on this thing.
I'm playing the drums.
Yep, he goes over to the light switch. Right. Winston goes over to his light switch. Fall light switch and Varth light switch.
Yep.
Right. I'm assuming everyone said they're on a switch.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So approximately this is where you guys are. So you kind of have to tell each other because now you can't see. You've all lost your line of sight from your original center positions and no one's looking through the scrying. Okay.
Okay. So, but can we figure it out? Like, well, we could see if the doors are open, you can see if the light goes on and off.
Yeah. You should be able to.
Fair enough. So anyway, Samish is going to town, B2 and B4, or shall we say Winston's room and Varth's room are going nuts.
Okay. So I turn on mine in the bar.
So you start.
Yeah, no, Bartholomew.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my bad.
Bartholomew.
So are they alternating?
No.
Or is it at the same time?
Simultaneously.
I leave them in an off state, so they're in the dark.
Okay. Yep. You guys want to try
this? All right, so... No, I'm not going to hit my switch, but I'm going to go check the scrying thing again.
Okay.
To see if it changes, like, if it changes the scrying thing to a different room, if it works the same way.
Oh, so as if the scrying device is following only lit rooms and you can look in every room?
Yeah. So, like, if it's, like, a security camera, you know, like, mm-hmm. they shut the lights off in that room if it goes to another room or whatever.
Okay. You go up, you peek, and at first you're not sure what you're looking at. It just looks like spots.
Spots, okay.
It just kind of looks like spots. And then it's like, no, wait a minute. You can see a very faint, sort of dim, sort of a glow. And they're patches. You're looking at a weird, sort of patchy pattern. And the patches are in focus. They have edges. They're small, like they're distant, or they're very, very small up close. But they're there. Also, there's something familiar about these patches. They're shapes.
Okay.
One actually looks like a helmet and like a silhouette of a front shoulder and kind of a sword held overhead, like a little arm. One looks like the front end of a horse.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah.
As you see those things, yell at me what they are,
mm-hmm.
and I will find them on the painting and see if there's a switch or a button or a depression or something.
So you're assuming maybe, he's looking at the painting.
Oh.
That's the only, because none of these other rooms have had any.
All right. Well, no. First, I'm going to yell to Bartholomew to hit his switch again.
Okay.
Hit him.
Okay. Two things happen. Some of those glows sort of disappeared, shadowed from right to left all of a sudden. Then you yell at him, and all of a sudden, poof, and you see the room. You see Varth, and you see the fresco, but you see Varth crossing to the center of the room near the wall.
Okay. Okay. Oh, it's a clue. It's a clue. Sweet. Okay. So I'll relay the information, you know, like I'll tell Bartholomew, hit that light again.
Hit it.
Okay. Takes a minute for your eyes to adjust, and then the glows return.
And what is the glow?
You see these, he says, like, I see random patches that kind of look like shapes, you know, it's kind of like finding faces in a tree kind of thing. It's all these random shapes. Anyway, something does become apparent. There's like a dark blotch in the center of the glows, obscuring some of them.
Okay.
Like a shadow.
So I'll yell to Lord Varth, move to your left.
I will step to my left.
Okay. And the shadow moves left.
All right. So I will direct Lord Varth via shadow to the leftmost spot.
Okay.
I will move to the leftmost spot.
That's okay. Glowing.
It's glowing.
Yep.
And it's not glowing for him?
He's just in a dark.
Do you see this?
He's in a dark room, dude. You're just like, you're in pitch black. All the lights out are, you know, like, pitch black freaking
right,
room.
Yeah. So here, let's do this. Fafal, come and cast light on something so I can see, and then move back to your position.
Mm. Well, I'm not really doing anything, but okay. So I'll cast light on a rock something, and hand it to him.
Okay. You see all this go down, Winston.
Sweet.
I think
now, can I still see the glow?
Nope. You suddenly see a light appear, and you see the room lit, and you see Fafal giving Varth a rock and a peck on the cheek, and then he buggers off. And then,
that's no, it's no good. It's no good. I can't see the spots I was seeing before. Get rid of the light source.
I'll just move the light like back where I'm standing currently. Mm-hmm. I'll set it down right there, just enough so I can see the fresco, but not enough to overwash the light as he tells me. Nope, back farther, and I'll move it back a little bit more.
Well, my lord, wouldn't it make more sense to have somebody that can see in the dark operate this?
Yeah, good point. Get your ass in here.
Oh, sorry.
As you wish.
I honestly thought he'd like puff up his chest and you'd be like, Bartholomew, to me. My trusty half-orc that can see in the dark. Right? Oh, damn it. We don't trust the servants with this. All right. So you are standing in as if you had placed it, like your light source is like a torchlight. Yes. Your light spell acts kind of like a torch. 30 foot, yes. You know, like 20 foot, nice, 40 foot, nah.
But I would have dispelled it at this point, because he said the patches went away when it was bright, so, and I can see in the dark.
Okay, well, he's left it over there by the door. You want to go shut it off?
Okay. Yeah, I just snap my fingers,
okay.
And it turns out.
You shut it off, your eyes adjust, and you have that oh-so-familiar nighttime shopping, shall we say, black and white vision. You see the fresco clearly, but it is a black and white and gray faded painting. You can see your surroundings well, but everything's black and white.
So I will direct him to the locations that are glowing and specifically pinpoint them using him through the fresco.
Okay.
To the left, to the right, to the right.
Okay. His voice, like he's yelling, blah, blah, type of thing. You kind of got to telephone this.
Yeah, well, no, Bartholomew relays.
Yeah. So, just for fun, I would like to have a diplomacy versus perception. Give me diplomacy. Give me diplomacy Winston, to articulate properly. And
okay.
And then I want a perception from Bartholomew, and then a perception with a negative two.
18.
As we play the telephone game.
Perception.
Okay, yes. So 18, right?
And 17 perception.
Okay. Now give me a diplomacy as you relay this message.
Oh, I got tons of diplomacy.
Sure you do.
Yeah. I'm a cavalier, after all. 27.
Oh,
okay.
Pounds of it.
Okay.
Precisely relays the information.
In fact, well, I added better instructions.
Exactly.
I cleared up the grammar.
So Winston's like, there's a group of horses on the left, the brown one. Bartholomew's like, there's a group of horses on the left, the brown stallion. He is adding stuff.
The Fielding Blaze.
It may not help, though. Can I have a perception from, you know?
Yes, a 13.
Okay. So you like see a bunch of horses, and there's like, you see black and white and gray, and he's telling you to go touch the, you know, third. Okay, what do you mean? There's no brown. Okay, third one from the, you see the one pulling the chariot? Yes, there's two. Okay, behind it is a chariot flipping over gloriously. Yeah, okay. You know, blah, blah, blah. So they talk you through shapes and figures and, you know, pinpointing right. through, right? But there are some points where it's like, there's, it's a war painting. You know, a big epic scene, right? Of yeah. Glorious Maximus defeating. Yeah. Do you know what this painting is of? Is anyone like bothered to talk? Like, do you guys?
I don't think we rolled high enough to even figure it out. I think we were good enough to figure out what dynasty it was, but that was about it.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll tell you literally what you
it was
see.
The fifth expansion. Okay?
Can I have a knowledge geography check for fall?
Yes, but it's untrained.
That's fine.
10.
You see a Tal'Dorei army at the base of a mountain that has a certain amount of peaks, and it's bristling with dwarves, and they are fighting a crap ton of dwarves on a mountain.
Don't know.
Fascinating.
Any guesses, guys? Come
on. Caterpesh?
No.
Moria?
No.
Mogwani Expanse.
Mountains?
Yeah, the biggest mountain range close to Tal'Dorei, part of their expansions. They are fighting, you know. I just think that's just perfectly hilarious considering you guys are playing three dwarves from the Five King Mountains in Age of Ashes campaign. Oh, look at this. Remember the War of 1812 where Canada actually beat America? What? No. Remember the fourth expansion when the dwarves actually lost? Well, we didn't lose. We just held them off and they went around us. Over to Chelyax. That's what happened. That's our version. We wrote that down. It just amuses me no end. Anyway, a battle against Tal'Dorei soldiers and dwarves in and around and on a mountain. This is what is depicted in Tal'Dorei's glory. I mean, you know, whether they won or not, it obviously looks like the battle could go either way, or there's about, you know, an epic moment, but on the rise, on the charge, about to, you know, this is not Custer's Last Stand where they're circled and they're screwed. This is, you know, we're about to win. That's because they lost. Or we're winning because we did. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We have a fighting chance. Don't look further into it. You know, that kind of thing. This is where we painted. For you, black and white, epic scene is what's going on. And he's like, okay, touch this dwarf. No, the one that's bald. The one with all the chest hair. That's the one. Touch that. Okay, there's another dwarf with a big axe. And he looks like he's shitting himself. Okay, that one. There's another. There's dwarven wizards? Well, these big, you know. Big frost coming out of this other dwarf, you know, picture. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. You know, push this. Anyway, you wanted to direct him from the left side to where? Pushing these glowing spots. What are we doing here, Winston?
Pushing them in order from left to right.
Okay.
To see, well, first, push them to see if they push.
So the fall will press his hand up against, okay, you know, the specific shape that is designated to him. And
to shove. To Fafal, there's no sensory at all. Like, there's no, you know,
tactile.
No pushing in, no this or that, right?
Doesn't feel clicker. No clicker, right?
I will say that not just the placebo effect, but because Fafal is an elemental and a sort of a more magical than a human type of creature, you sense there's magic here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Almost like electrical on something metal, not enough for you to feel the volt, but you just like touching your foam pad, right? You just sense the magnetic and the current within, you know, a little bit more sensitive, but
yeah, the electromagnetic field.
Anyway, it's there, but not
so
like
the
it's
magic electro field.
Maybe that it's not blinking or reacting to you. Like I said, to you, Fafal, I think you're sensitive enough that you like, yeah, he's saying it's glowing magically from what I can see, you know, what the hell were they drinking? You said no.
When he touches the spot, do I see anything different? Does it like change color or anything like that?
I will go so far as to say that the spot he touches shimmers, blinks, like just ever so subtly that you can tell that he's made contact with it at the moment he touches it.
Okay.
But it doesn't wink out. It doesn't change color. It doesn't really do anything, but it does seem to sort of react.
How many
like
spots are there?
A lot. This thing is covered with them.
Okay. So like I said, I'll lead them through from left to right.
Okay. So, and the fresco.
They're mashed potatoes.
You like that?
Yeah.
Aiden.
Yes.
Jay, the younger sci-fi crowd.
Him being sci-fi. No idea what we're talking about.
Yeah. Anyone? Anyone? Yeah.
You know, on Aliens versus Monsters, when the president who could be Colbert.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess musical Matt got it, obviously, but
Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
No,
with Richard Dreyfuss.
There we go.
It's one of his best roles.
Contact Before Contact.
Yep. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Fourth Kind.
It's good, really.
Or was it the first?
It's the Third Kind. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, Third Kind.
Yeah.
The
sequel is the fourth kind.
The fourth kind is Aliens.
Yeah.
It specifically means like Encounters of the Fourth Kind means aliens. Third Kind is like other person or something. Like the saying Encounters of the.
Yeah. Well, I think they rigged the title so that, because if they said aliens in the title, then you know there's aliens. The whole show is leading up to is it real? Are they really there? So Yeah. Anyway. Sorry.
Mashed potatoes.
And the roof shudders as the ship lands and ceilings open up and stairways ascend and little green men come down and scoop up Bartholomew,
because he's directly into our Starfinder campaign. Yeah.
They scoop up Bartholomew, the only worthy green person here. And you guys are left to die and rot.
It comes to fruition.
and that's why you played a half-orc. The end. All right. No, seriously.
Did we just beat it?
No, you were left to die. Bartholomew wins. Okay, so, moving on. What?
So left to right.
Yeah.
Working his way through the touch spots.
You believe that the magic are like reacting or acknowledging him touching them? You know, so it's like, okay, you're onto something. You don't feel he has to like connect them, draw lines, cover them. You know, they do seem to be, this is a touchpad kind of deal. This much I'll give you. But the left to right does not seem to yield any results.
All right, so process of elimination, right to left, top to bottom.
Okay.
What about the rooms? Yep, like,
is anything happening in the rooms as he's touching them?
Darkness and boredom.
No, I mean when the lights come on in a room, does the images that he can clearly see on the map change?
Right now, you guys have all four rooms dark.
Then turn all of them off except for B1. Just go B1, B2, B3, B4. See if that's the order. So I will turn, and I'll holler out to the guys, everybody turn your lights off. And then I'll turn mine on and see if the images change.
So when he pushes the pad in the servants' quarters.
Yeah. Okay. So does Sir Winston's image of what's in B4 change?
No. But you do notice that none of your pads seem to correspond with any single room. It seems to be a random broken mess. One does two others. One does one other. One only shuts something off. One only turns something else on.
Is there any continuity? Or is it completely RNG?
It's if you guys keep wailing on the same button, it does affect the same rooms on and off consistently. But not in any pattern.
That list?
Yep.
So we're hitting the pad in the servants' quarters and the master's chambers are turning on and off or whatever type of deal.
I mean, but I think what I'm trying to get at is when room, you know, so we're all monkeying with the lights.
Mm-hmm.
When B1, when that light comes on, does Winston's image change when he's looking in
light?
B4?
Light spilled he's into going. That room makes the, you know, you can see everything in color, but all the spots vanish.
When the lights in B1 turn on.
No, when the lights... B4. If any light source is shone through a hallway or brought into B4, you can see the room, Winston, but you can't see the glow-in-the-dark spots.
Okay, so I'll relay that.
When that room is shrouded in darkness, all the spots come back. And there doesn't seem to be much change besides a whole bunch of stroke having flickering lights in all the other rooms that you can sense so far from your positions at this time. Not that I'm trying to make this overly complicated.
No. Too late.
Done. Okay, so I'll relay. I can only see the glowing stuff when the storage room is in complete darkness.
Okay, then partially close the doors to the storage room so he can still hear us, but light doesn't spill in.
You guys all start flickering all kinds of lights, but you wanted to see the results. So I'm assuming you guys are like, what does this light do? What does this light do? What is it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the falls room, B1, turns on the bar and the bedroom.
Wait, hold up. You said two contradicting things. Fafal is in the storage room, which I thought we dictated to be four.
Sorry. I forgot you guys had switched. Sorry. Varth is now in the quarters, in the multi-bed servants' quarters.
Right.
Okay, sorry. Varth switch. If he plays with it, you can make the lights go on and off in the storeroom and in the bar room. And that's it.
There.
Okay.
I just entered it into chat.
Okay. Winston, your switch. Yeah. If you abandon your scrying pool and start playing with the switch, okay?
Okay.
All you do is give Bartholomew a stroke in the bedroom. On, off, on, off, on.
Okay.
B3. Okay?
So switch in the bar.
So B1, the bedroom. B1 affects B2 and B3. B2 affects B3. Bartholomew starts hitting his, and he affects the bar room and the storeroom, B2 and B4. You got all this?
Yep.
And only Fafal.
I did notice that, Lord Varth, you may have written in the wrong rooms. Because you... Jeff, you just said it. Varth's room turns on B3 and B2.
No, he has it right. He has it right.
Varth,
hey, I'm Jeff. Keeping tracks.
B1, hey, yeah.
Can you cut it out of wherever you're reading from and just paste it so we quit?
Sure.
Getting it.
Actually, I don't know if I can do that, but I can tell you.
Well, here, just give me what Fafal's switch does, what the storeroom switch does, and I have it all.
Is B2 and B4, like that.
Yes.
Very simple, right? B2 is B3. Now, this is the switch, and then it's the room that it just kind of goes on and off, on and off, all right? B3 is B2 and B4. And I screwed up that, but you get the idea. B4, okay, is B1 and B2. Kind of random, but there you go. And only when the lights are off in B4 can Winston see the patterns on the glowing fresco, and only through the repaired scrying glass.
Okay.
It took us this long to get here.
I know. But, savage.
But.
That's a good puzzle. A good
if,
puzzle.
If you guys start literally, there. You know, what?
There. Yep. So I've typed in what I want to try to do.
So read it out.
Just by lighting the rooms in their perspective order, by turning on the lights in B1, whoever has control of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then B2, then B3. Does Bartholomew's image in the crystal ball change of the fresco?
You mean
meaning
Winston.
Is there an
Winston?
Is there an order to the images that are shown through the ball by lighting up different rooms?
Right,
and that's the ones that Fafal will try to touch.
Okay, no, the only thing that he can discern is when there's no light in the room, the wall glows.
So the glowing spots on the fresco don't change location,
and you can only see them when the room is dark.
Yeah.
However, so standing in the room itself, doesn't matter what lights are on, you can't see shit. Fafal is like standing at this black and white wall going, I don't see anything. Doesn't matter what you guys switch on. Okay. You can only seem to see the magical dots through the magical scrying device. And they only seem to appear because we brought light into that room and then you can see everything when the lights are out.
Quick question about the scrying device.
Yeah.
How big is it?
It's, crystal ball size, the size of your head.
It's built. Is it something we can move?
It's built into the room, so they it's 20% exposed on the outside edge, 80% encased in a wall.
Yeah. All right. No moving that business. Okay.
Okay. So Fafal will call out. So right now it doesn't seem like pressing these in just some random.
So
order left
in the
right,
artisanal kit,
matter.
Was there a piece of charcoal so he can circle the spots?
Yeah. Good step. Good
I could step. I could say that because it's artisanal jewels, there would be there'd be chalk.
Yeah.
Chalk something. So we can mark the spots, and then we'll mark the spots in relation, turn the lights on, and see if there's something in the fresco that...
A pattern?
Yeah.
Okay. I see you saying, you can kind of blindly go, there's a shape here, blah, blah, blah. And he just kind of... I don't know if he's going to circle it perfectly, encircle it, but he could just go this is here.
Put a mark
chalk
on
circle.
It.
Right,
chalk
exactly.
Circle. Chalk circle,
exactly.
Chalk circle. Within this circle I've made with chalk is a glowing spot shaped weird. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Okay. So you're going to abandon the crystal ball, mark the room, and then just kind of go, And you can all stay in the room going, is there something else we're missing? That kind of
thing. Well, actually, can you get them glowing? And could I go take a look at the crystal ball and then go over to the fresco itself and identify one for one? Seems how I've now seen the glowing images. And then with dark vision, being able to go and identify the closest looking images.
So you want to go to the ball, take over Winston's position, have a good look.
Yeah.
Burn it into your brain. Then go over there and look at his chalk circles and kind of go, well, let's shimmy up this. It was really just
this was a horseshoe. This was a moon. This was a...
Yeah. See both sides of the elephant.
Sure. You can all do that. Have a lovely argument of intelligence rolls and... No. It was this part of the horse. Oh, you know. It's the front of the horse. The back of the horse. It wasn't that chariot. It was this chariot. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, before we burn 100 hours of airtime...
Oh, no.
What is a day and a half of trying to figure this out get us?
It gets us back to the samurai, who's still in rounds. So, back to the samurai.
All right.
We'll see if a fresh set of samurai eyes or deaths will help us out here.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting back to the Senate of Tal'Dorei. Whoop, I guess it would help if I... boink. There we go. Meanwhile, back at the Senate. Doors, guys, hiding. Buddy's searching around looking for you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to move, but the question is to where?
What's your purpose here?
I need to go speak with either a member of the Ulfin Guard or as close to like Prince Davian as I can get.
Okay. There doesn't seem to be anybody anywhere. Enough time's gone by, you should see a servant, somebody like cleaning behind the scenes, because like you have your guests, your VIPs, right? Now they're all hoarded into the Senate itself. You have the kitchen staff cleaning up. You have this going on. You have that going on. You know, blah, 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 that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
You don't hear any of that, not from your position.
But you were saying I did hear some like yelling coming from inside the Senate hall?
Yes, screaming, let us out. Oh my God, I've had such a short life. You hear peril, screams of fear, 200-fold. Those doors cannot contain that much volume. To your horror, you realize that these strange-looking guards have locked the entire Senate inside, and inside, they seem to be reacting as if they are very upset, possibly fearing for their very lives. What do you, was one little samurai do? There's a door 25 foot to the north. You could get there before anyone could get to you. You could go out that door. You could run through the field, screaming, Takagi! And be out of the city before anyone noticed you were...
I probably could.
We could go back in time and play Jade Regent, and you would not be trapped with the puzzle of doom. Uh-huh. Yeah. What do you want to do?
I would also be much, much younger. Okay, in that case, I'm going to... Well, how much do I know about this, about the building, like the Senate room itself? I know that these doors are locked, and presumably the ones to the, and the south, to the south were also probably also locked. Am I aware of the other door?
You gotta move up to see it. If they've locked two and you're screaming, you can probably assume logically that all five are probably locked, or they would just be coming flooding out through the doors.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, then for now, I'm going to have to, because eventually someone's going to come out of the room. So my best bet for now is to try to find a better way to hide.
Okay.
I'm currently already hiding, but can I make my hiding spot a little more effective?
Well, you've hid here. You want to like go deeper in the bush or lay prone or something, but they are searching this area. Your best bet.
Yeah, that's true.
Not really meting the 10 is to sort of move position and go somewhere else that they may not search, or someplace that they just don't believe someone would be in that they've already emptied, you know, that kind of thing.
In that case, what about sneaking around the wall and hiding in this little alley or this little alcove just behind the main wall?
Sure. But if anyone crosses either end, you're like exposed and trapped at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I could slowly do like a cover crawl, I suppose.
What do you mean? You mean like go prone, go across the grass, and go to like a different bush?
No, I was saying that if I can get in around this wall here, can I peek around that wall and see if there's any guards like in that section?
You are. You did. And you saw two guys 100 foot away, blah, 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 barred door.
Yeah, they're by the door. So they can't really see in. Is there a way to draw in fantasy rounds or like ping? So I'm hiding on the bush, and directly to my left, there's a big wall. But I know that there's an empty space behind that wall, like a hallway.
Yeah.
Did I notice if there was any like guards wandering that hallway part? As in, like, could I use that to get cover and get slowly closer to the two doors that I know have people on them, but also further away from the guard that's looking for me?
You've completely lost me at this point.
Okay, if I hide behind that wall that's to my left, then I'm out of...
I'm just
like,
trying to pull up some minis here so that you can... You know what I mean? Like, I'm just wondering why it won't let me give a... Well, for right now, I guess you just kind of get... Hello? No. Sorry. Oh, I know what's going on. I'm on the wrong map. That's what's going on here. I'm trying to move things around on the player map as opposed to, like, the DM map. It's like, hey, why can't I get things going here? Okay. Now we're cooking. Okay, so try to get on with this and try to make this a little bit less painful. We are pulling up the party order. I'm going to put you in the party. Put you on the map. Okay, we zoom in. There's a tiny little you in a tiny little bush peeking around a corner. Right?
Yep.
We'll zoom in on you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to sort of just get enough breath here that we can see that door. Now, directly line of sight, you can see... You see the line of sight, how one door is kind of around a corner from you and there's another door, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Move to where you wish to go. I won't make you move there. So, you want to hide in this hallway. It is empty.
Yes.
If people go running by, you're kind of in the open and sitting duck. I would not suggest remaining there for very long.
Mm-hmm. It's more just because I know the guy is searching the courtyard.
Right.
I'd be out of view of the courtyard.
Yeah. Also, peeking around the corner is different than emerging from that corner because the guards, they can hear him. Though he's distant, and they're kind of looking down the hall, looking around like, what's he going to be, you know, not abandoning their post yet, mm-hmm. but like if you step out, you're literally stepping into the line of sight. Hence, I need a decent stealth roll. There's just enough there's just enough distance that in, you know, ye old video game going, well, you know, there's lighting and they're distracting, blah, blah, blah. If you like belly crawled around that corner, it might be possible to put you right where you are. But you know, fail with stealth check. So if you want to have a go at that and get a little closer, sure.
Yep. Either way, I got to get out of that yard because they are looking there. So that is an 8.
I'm giving these guys... Get on your belly, you come around, you find yourself halfway there. Give me another one, because crawling is like 5 foot, you know. Give me 2.
13.
Okay. Just kind of, you'd like literally just worm your way around a 10-foot wall. You don't even need to be in the position you want to be, because you were technically around a corner, you know, the first corner. But this is where you are. You've broken line of sight, but you're prone. But you can't see them, they can't see you.
Yes.
So what do you want to do, laying on the ground?
Stealthily stand back up.
Okay. And...
creep over to the wall. If I can maybe... I don't know if I'm going to be able to make a distraction for them again. I might just have to break into a run.
Okay. So what do you want to do? What's your intent here?
So I get as close as I can, so right up to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I mean, you now you have an opportunity. If you want to string your bow and start sniping...
Yeah, that's true. I'll try to set my bow up and get ready.
I only mentioned this... Not to trap you into starting a fight, but you did mention earlier, shit, I don't have time to ready my weapon, and you just ran and hit, right? Now, technically, you do. If now you think this
chance.
Is a good
That'd
idea,
be a good
right?
time.
If you think this is a good idea.
As far as I'm aware, these are intruders in the castle,
mm-hmm.
and they've locked everyone in there, so yes, I'm going to arm my bow. I don't think I can take care of all four of them, but having some way to defend myself, even from a distance, would be a good idea.
Now, I would never encourage meta, but it is my job as a DM to state... That currently, because of the events, when that Alfin guard walked you out of the Senate, you left the Crownfall adventure. By the time you got back here, even though you are in contact via radio, as it were, with your fellows, okay, you are not in Crownfall. You are walking around in Lion's Justice, a much higher level adventure.
Yep.
This is very cool. You're a first level dude taking on a 7th and 9th level Pathfinder Society adventure. However, you are not the main heroes of this adventure. They are wherever they are doing whatever. Mm-hmm. But because it literally affects the same terrain and you decided to return to the scene of the crime, as it were, here you are. And there's no stopping you. It just would seem bumpkiss to go, no, don't go back there. It's turn to 7th level, you know, type of thing. But at this point where you have the advantage where someone's looking for you, you could get away or you could start a fight or you could, you know, try to do whatever you're going to try and do. Okay. You're looking at some dudes that are at a range and, you know, look like well-trained mercenaries that you doubt you could take down with a single shot.
Mm-hmm.
And to what end? You wake the place up?
If I was to use my bow, it wouldn't be for offense. It would be for distraction, perhaps try to, like, slow them down.
Ah, okay. Well, let's talk about you shooting an arrow off in some random direction for, like, you know, to make them go off in a random direction. as opposed to throwing a rock. That we can work with. Let's talk about what kind of arrows you got. You were brought 24 of your arrows. So on your original character, what was smuggled to you?
My arrows. I have blunt arrows and durable arrows, so I probably have 10 of each.
Okay. If that's, so no smoke arrow, no bomb arrow, no what, you know, you don't have any like utility arrows. You just, you have two different ways of damaging. So you got blunt and durable. So that's what you got to work with.
Yeah.
So here's the guy. White House has taken over. One guy with a 9mm, 6 rounds in the chamber. What does he do? You know, like, it's, you literally are in the diehard situation. This is why I let this play out like this. You know, like, what do you do, man?
Yep. Okay. I think, actually, looking at, like, kind of looking in and then realizing that there's probably 4 guards here and 4 guards down south, and one of them searching. Can I cross this hallway and go down to the south section? Because there should theoretically be less guards over there.
True. Sure. You know, short, quiet jog. Sure. I'll give you that one for free. Whee!
Okay.
And?
And then, now that I'm down here, I'm going to take one of my blunt arrows and shoot it into, because I can see kind of into a doorway.
Yep.
Presumably, this is kind of an open doorway to my southwest.
Yep, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shoot into there, see if I can make enough noise.
Now, you are facing a door that was blocked. On the other side of it is a guard and a whole bunch of pissy nobles that they are keeping out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a lot of noise. Pissy nobles. Although I could open the door and see if I could get everyone to just run in, but that might be kind of questionable, so no. As tempting as a giant distraction like that would be, it would probably result in a lot of deaths, so yeah, I'm going to shoot into this doorway to my southwest and try to make enough noise with the landing of the arrow that one of the guards wants to go and look.
Okay. So you hit it so it angles and makes like a resounding crack off a wall?
Yes.
Okay. Doesn't seem to draw the Lamaite, which he would come straight back and expose you, luckily, but yes. You hear the approaching footsteps.
Okay. I'm going to
And you hear him call out to somebody else. And you hear multiple footsteps. And sure enough, 2 guys appear, you know, coming out of 45-degree angle, going right to the door. One stops where you are and looks your way, looks all around, like he's covering him and still looking for, you know, like, the source. And one guy goes and looks in. You're actually forced, like, to do the, you know, pull back in the doorway kind of thing.
Okay.
Because they come on an angle and you literally see what they take military position. One standing looking. He literally said his body shoulder turns your way and it's like,
Okay, and now then, I guess that's my best chance. So if I can get through them, then there's only the one guard at the other side that could block me.
So what do you do?
I'm going to take a deep breath and run.
Where?
I'm going to be going around.
No, show me. Just do it. Like, move the dude.
Yeah.
The world's watching. Okay, so you're going to actually, like, hug the wall and try to run past them? Only 10 feet away from them?
Yeah, like run right as much as between them as I can get.
You got a guy there where I've placed you. You've got a guy here looking your way. And you're going to pop out around this corner and just book it past them? How's it going?
Yeah. Then yes, I will be running around this to the wall and then try to go south from there.
Okay. Are you going to peek out and see where his attention is?
Yes, I'll wait till he's like looking away from me first.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to be like, so stare at me, then I run out.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Okay, so give me a stealth as you try to, like, you know, check. Because the guy's literally got the guy facing
you. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Stealth of 21.
His shoulders are facing at you, and he happens to have his head turned with my crappy 5 at his guy, going, well, do you see anything? And he's like, no. He's like, well, maybe it can't. Like, he's literally turning his head back to you, and you're like, oop! Back around the corner again. But you got lucky twice now, but he's squarely facing, you know, your way, and he almost saw you twice. And you want to peek around a corner and just like run towards him. What do you do? Also, when you crossed the wall and peeked and ran for it, you saw 2 guys on one door. Now there's 3 guys. Mm. Where'd the 3rd guy come from?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Did he call him from all the way at the top? No, that guy closed on your position way too fast. You can assume that there's probably guards on each door. because that third guard joined the second guard way too fast.
Okay. So there are then two guards down at the door. One's out there, and one is presumably still at the doors.
Mm-hmm.
I could gamble it and say maybe there was two guards on the north door and one guard on the south. Is there a guard still at one of the doors that I can see?
You want to peek around and risk getting spotted again to see what's beyond the two guys looking your way? Or do you want to scurry all the way back to the north and see how those guys are doing? See, the problem is they're... Their backs are to the door, and they're just kind of standing there looking around. And every time you lean out and peek, you're kind of in their field of view. That's why I keep suddenly going, right, stealth check, perception, stealth check, perception. I've rolled stupidly low all night. Honestly,
yeah.
If you do the Lodge of Ashes, you should have been seen three times by now. You've been incredibly lucky.
I have. Okay, then I'm going to, just with my knowledge of like what I've done so far and saw that there was like four guards on the top door, I'm just going to have to guess that there is going to be four guards on these doors. Maybe some other guards in the private rooms, just making sure they're clear or something. But my best guess is that
There were two outside on the exterior door that you went around and nakagied over the wall. And every door that you've seen at a distance has had two guards on it. Mm-hmm. And you know the layout of the Senate from the party has five doors.
Yes.
So at the very least, you can assume that interior, there are... The fifth door is on the way other side of the Senate. You could assume that there's eight guys lined up on that wall, minus one that's looking at a llama, now minus two more.
So at least one of those doors is probably relatively unguarded compared to what it was, which means my next best bet would be maybe to take a chance and run, see if I can get to that door and open it.
Okay, so pick a door and run, and I'll tell you what you see as you go.
First run gets me to about the corner.
Okay.
And is one of the doors less guarded than the other?
You step out, right? And you start booking it along this wall. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say there's no way you're going to get more than 10 feet before this guy standing right here, another 10 feet south and 10 feet back facing your way, doesn't notice you just suddenly step out into an empty hallway and start booking it towards him.
Can we initiative then?
I'll tell you what's going to happen now that you're finally exposed. The Senate plays out very, very dramatically, but you weren't here. Lots of epic things going on. But finally, when things were at their bleakest and you traded blows, all the Cavaliers somehow were magically saved. Okay? I will tell you this. The guy in front of you calls out, draws his sword, and closes on you immediately. You have a chance to get a shot off. Okay, go nuts. Shoot. Do your damage. The second guy, within a round, will react, and you'll have two guys on you.
I'm not really trying to shoot, though. Can I use? Could I try to use like acrobatics to try to flip through?
Oh, sure. You want to avoid them? Keep running. Yeah. Okay. So let's say you get past these guys, and now they're chasing you from behind. When you get to the open space, okay, there's a single guard on the door that you couldn't see up there,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, you know, hey, you, and everyone starts shouting and relaying, because like I said, open space, no one here really but them. So would you run, you know, keeping this in cinematic, because trust me, you don't really want this to go to combat, it's not really supposed to, right? Would you go hard north and try to, you know, outdistance that guy before it closes towards more doors where there might be more guards, or go south, because this door directly ahead of you is actually empty, because you've pulled both guards off of it. They're both behind you, right?
I go to the empty door.
Right, towards the, okay, so you head towards the empty door. Okay, you start booking it.
Yeah.
You know, these guys turn around, they're right on your heels. Okay, you do not have a chance to stop. If you stop, they will catch you. But your choice now is go for a barred and locked door, which is very obviously now, and it's banging. You can hear the screaming, or head towards the kitchens.
It's banging. I hear screamings. I need to help somehow. So I'm going to try to run up to it. And then if I can just throw the bar, I don't know necessarily that
it's
locked.
Sure. You run up. Okay, you stop. And you throw up the bar, okay? Mm-hmm. You hear them close, and you barely turn around, and you see two things. First, you see a group of people running around the corner that don't look like guards. They just look like people in different modes of dress. Like, all you can perceive is that their weapons out. They look like they were stealthy and came around, or very surprised to kind of, like, see you and the guards. And they immediately, a small group of people immediately like come running to your aid. but it's too late. You stop, you throw that bar, you turn, you prepare yourself to fight, and you're facing two guards, swords out, and they lunge at you. And the weirdest thing happens. Whether you fend them off, skewering one sword towards the door, and it stabs the door instead of you, stepping back, using your martial arts training to, you know, go full defense, and the blows start raining down on you, one, two, three, that kind of thing. Finally, a sword swipe before you can deplete these 80 hit point, 8th level, exteriorly imported guards.
Before I can take one down.
A sword strike rings true. There is a flash of light, and you find yourself in a hallway, very disoriented, leaning up against a wall. You think you're dead. You think you hear your dead comrades. You hear your familiar voices. I'm coming, Varth. I'm coming, Fafal. I'm coming, Winston. And they're arguing. Is this it? Click, click, click. No, is this it? No, that's not it. Try touching me here. No, touch the wall there. Click, 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 type of thing. And as your head clears from the disorientation of a teleport to a far, far away place, you, for some strange happenstance, have been reunited with your fellows, who are just as surprised to see you magically appear in their midst as you are to see them. And we will see you next time on Dice. Before it's about bloody time, they're all back together. Dishonor. Say goodnight, Fly Samurai.
Good morning. Good night. Where are we?